Thanks for listening. The following is an audio presentation from High Country Christian Church. For more information, please visit www.highcountrychristian.com.
I'd like for us to go look at Romans 12. And then I'd like for us also to look at Psalm 37. We'll look at Romans 12 first. Romans chapter 12. This is going to be one of those sermons where I read you the two scriptures as I like to do, and you think, what in the world do these two scriptures have to do with each other? I love when the Lord gives me a message that has two things that seem to not be connected, and then he somehow connects the two of them. God is just so stinking cool. Romans chapter 12 and Psalm 37. We'll look at Romans 12 first. I'm talking to you this morning about how to overcome insecurity. How to walk in freedom from insecurity. Anybody besides me ever been insecure in their life? Anybody ever had an insecure day or an insecure thought? Or months? Maybe it wasn't just a day. Maybe it lasted a while. Well, I want to share with you some things the Lord has put on my heart about how to walk free from that. Do you know, as the church of God, as Christians, we're always called to be in pursuit of the impossible. Amen. We're always called to be in pursuit of the impossible. God calls us into his kingdom, and he never calls us to do practical impossible or practical possible things. He always stretches us. Amen. He always wants us to do things that to us seem ridiculous and impossible. And one of the tools that the enemy uses to keep us in the realm of possibility is insecurity. One of the tools that the enemy uses to keep us only thinking about what's practical for our lives is to use insecurity to stunt our thinking. He uses insecurity to stunt our thinking. See, if you're insecure about who you are, you'll never do what God's called you to do. Right? You just won't. You'll just get so self-introspective. You'll get so self, you'll get into, introspection is the right word. You'll get so introspective that you never see outside yourself. And if you never see outside yourself, then you're not looking at Jesus and you're not trying to do the impossible. Because that's what we're called to. Amen? We're called to bring heaven to earth. We're called to move mountains. We were talking about it on Friday night, man. Mark 11, 23. Say unto the mountain, be removed. That's impossible. That's an impossible task. But yet we get called to the impossible all the time. But man, if we're so insecure about who we are, if we don't know who God's made us to be, and we just struggle and wrestle within ourselves all the time, then we never get to move mountains. We never get to walk on water. We never get to do all the cool stuff that the gospel calls us to. We never get to raise the dead, man. I mean, if you don't know who you are and you're dead in yourself, how are you going to raise somebody else from the dead? Amen. Matter of fact, wow, that's good. That's not even in my notes. John 11, Jesus goes to the grave of Lazarus. And you know what he does before he says, Lazarus, come forth? Do you know the prayer that he prays? Have you ever read it before? The first thing out of his mouth, he says, Father, I know you've heard me. I'm doing, this is the Josh Thurman paraphrase, I'm praying for the benefit of the people around me listening. He was so secure in who he was, and he was so secure that God had sent him to Lazarus' grave to raise him up from the dead, that he said, the only reason I'm bothering to pray right now is for the benefit of the people listening. You don't get to raise the dead if you're insecure. Amen? We don't get to do miracles if we're just insecure all the time. And so I was dealing with this in my life, and the Lord began to speak to me about it. I'll share some of the testimony of that with you as we get into this. But let's remember that as Christians, we're called to be in pursuit of the impossible. And it is security in God that will help us do that. And insecurity will be the thing that fights us to keep us natural. Amen? Romans chapter 12. Oh, we forgot to make our confession. Let's make our confession real quick. You can put it up on the screen. Oh, man, Perry's fast. Let's read it together. Ready? Thank you, Father, that today the eyes of my heart see you, the ears of my heart hear you, My heart and mind perceive and understand your word and your will. Today I am growing in the things of God. Man, that's good. Oh, I just love doing that every Sunday. I can't tell you how much that ministers to me when I get ready to preach. I do it just as much for your own benefit as I do for myself to say that before we preach every Sunday. So, amen. Romans chapter 12, and then we'll jump over to Psalm 37 in a moment. Romans 12, verse 3, and it reads, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith." Now, the way that it reads in the NIV, the New King James, the New American Standard, the ESV, they all say a measure of faith there. They all say a measure of faith, but that's not present in the Greek. In the Greek, it would be rendered as a definite article, meaning it would say the measure of faith. So that when you got saved, every one of us got the same measure of faith. How do you make pancakes? Well, it's one cup of flour and it's one egg. And that's a certain measurement required for the recipe, right? Well, when you got saved, God gave you the measure of faith. And he gave me the measure of faith. For the Christian life, faith is required. And God gave it to us in the perfect measurement. Each one of us got the same. What you do with your faith after God gave it to you is between you and him. Amen. I can have big biceps if I wanted to work them out. I just don't. I'm too lazy to get big biceps. I don't like the gym. Faith is the same way. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. But everybody got the same measure. Make sense? So he's saying, through the grace given to me, I want to say to everybody not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us the measure of faith. Now, if you would keep your finger there and let's jump to Psalm 37 real quick. And we're going to come right back to Romans because I want to teach out of that first. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm 37, verse 4, and it reads, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What in the world does that have to do with Romans 12, 3, about thinking more highly than you ought to? Well, we're going to find that out here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Go back to Romans 12. Now that you know where we're headed in the scripture. Romans chapter 12. He's talking to us about not thinking more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. Let me tell you how insecurity comes. It's been my experience in my own life, and I've seen it in the lives of other people, that insecurity happens when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, and then a situation or a circumstance comes in life that knocks us down, and suddenly insecurity is born. I don't know if you relate to this or not, but this is how it's happened in my life many times. When I begin to get an image of myself that is inconsistent with what the Bible says about who I am, I enter into pride and arrogance, and like a balloon that gets full of hot air, I begin to expand in my thinking and think of myself more highly than I ought to. And then a situation or a circumstance comes along and pops my balloon, and I go, and suddenly I'm deflated and insecure. Anybody else besides me been there? Paul admonishes us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. You shouldn't think about yourself more than what God says about you. It's not a limiting statement, but it's a statement that desires accuracy. Does that make sense at all? I don't know if that even makes sense. God's not trying to limit you when it comes to your identity. But he doesn't want you to go outside of what he said about you. The challenge for us is that as we grow in the things of the Lord and as we begin to get confidence, if we're not careful, worry and pride will come in alongside of our confidence and it will make us puffed up. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, pride puffs us up. And that's what Paul is trying to warn us against, because I believe he understands that if we get in pride and we get in arrogance, ultimately we'll get knocked down a peg and we'll get into insecurity. So let's look at a couple of these Greek words here real quick from Romans 12, and then I want to make some statements here. Actually, let me make one of the statements real quick. One of the statements I wrote down in my notes is that insecurity is the result of seeing ourselves differently than God sees us. Insecurity is the result of seeing yourself differently than God sees you. That's why Paul says, don't get puffed up. See yourself the way God sees you. It's almost as if there's a middle of the road right here, and this is what God says about who I am. It's not a limiting thing. In matter of fact, you're a whole lot bigger on the inside than you think you are. But here's where God sees us, and then pride wants us to get up here. Pride wants us to be elevated beyond what God has said about us. And then when that happens, and we get knocked off, we go way down here, past where God says we are. We go way down here into this place called insecurity. Does that make sense so far? Yeah? Okay. Insecurity is any time I have a view different from this right here in the middle about what God has said about me. Anytime God says I'm the head and not the tail, and I just insist on being the tail. Anytime I begin to, here's a good one, feel sorry for myself. Anybody ever felt sorry for yourself? Anybody with kids ever tried to coach your kids out of not feeling sorry for themselves? How many times has one of my daughters come into the room and go, oh, I can't do it. No, I don't feel like I can do it. And you just, something rises up and you say, no. No, bless God, you can do it. Don't have that attitude. Don't give way to insecurity and self-pity and feeling bad for yourself all the time. Insecurity is the result of seeing ourselves differently than the way God sees us. Unchecked worry yields insecurity. When you have a worry that comes into your heart and into your mind, or I'll just say into your mind, when you have a worry that creeps into your thought life and you don't deal with it and you don't check it, it can yield itself to insecurity. It can give way to insecurity in your life. So Paul is giving us, he's teaching us how to deal with that before it happens. In Romans chapter 12, he's teaching us how to cut that off before it becomes insecurity. He's saying, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And if you look at the two previous verses, the context verses, is where he talks about renewing our mind. Be renewed, he says. Renew your mind so that you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You got to have a renewed mind. You got to think the way God thinks about you. And if you do that, it will keep you from arrogance and it will keep you from insecurity. People that have insecurity working in their lives have forgotten what the Bible says about them. Amen. They've just forgotten it. I've been there, man. I told you I was at this meeting in New Hampshire last weekend. And my wife preached and she did a great job. Praise God, she did a really good job. We had spent some time with several ministers that were there. It was a small conference. It was intentionally small. And it was in a little town called Gorham, New Hampshire, which I tell people is on the way to nothing. It's Gorham, if you can imagine, is smaller than West Jefferson. So there's nothing there. I was trying to eat healthy when we left. I just started eating healthy a couple days before I left. And I was like, I'm going to keep this up while I'm in New Hampshire. And then we'd get out of church, and the only place open within for like 25 miles was a place called Mr. Pizza. And so it was at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, we're eating pizza because that's all there is to eat, and nobody's had dinner because we've been at church. So this is a tiny little place. And Joey Roberts, who was here on Friday night, he's the one that hosted the meeting, and he brought in some ministers that are like heavy-duty people. Like the quality of ministry that we received at this conference was far exceeded the quality of ministry that I've received at any conference that I've been at in the last 5 years, easily. It blew me away. And there's like 75 people in the room, and it was kept small on purpose. And it was out of the way on purpose. And these ministries came up, and just different guys. There's a pastor there named Pastor John Del Turco, preached a message on offense that just blew my mind. Joe Morris, who's a total prophet, and he was just a powerful man of God. Aaron Jones from Redding, he goes to Bethel in California, spoke. And then the last night was Jeremy Pearsons, who spoke. And I don't know if you know who Jeremy Pearsons is, but he's Kenneth Copeland's grandson. So he comes from like, you know, ministry royalty, you know? It's like the closest thing to being the crown prince in the church world, you know what I mean? They're big names. And so by the end of the week, I had been just poured into, and I'm just blown away at this level of ministry, and I'm going, man, I got nothing. I got nothing. I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting at the table eating breakfast with all these people I way look up to, and I'm going, man, they're so far ahead of me. They're so far beyond me. Insecurity. Yeah. Anybody been there besides me? Did you ever compare yourself to anybody else before and go, man, I just don't measure up? What am I doing when I'm doing that? I'm forgetting everything the Bible says about who God made me. I'm not forgetting. I'm choosing to not believe everything the Bible says about who I am. When I look at somebody's life and I compare myself to it and I go, man, they have all this that I don't have, and they have this following, and they preach better than me, and they do this and they do that, and look how good they are, and look how crappy I am. Can I just be real with you? What am I doing? Man, I am choosing not to believe everything the Bible says about who God made me. Insecurity is the result of seeing yourself differently than God sees you. Because you know who hasn't changed their mind about you? God. You know who hasn't changed his mind about who he made you to be? Jesus. He hasn't altered his thoughts about you one bit. That's why I love what Bill Johnson says. He says, I cannot afford to have a thought in my mind that he does not have in his about me. I cannot afford to think a thought about me that he doesn't think about me. Why? Because it will limit me. It will prevent me from chasing after the impossible. So how does this work? The mechanics of it are spelled out for us here in Romans 12:3. Paul says, don't think differently or more highly than God has made you to be. Verse 3. I say to you through the grace who's given to everyone's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. What does the word sober mean? It means here in the Greek to be of a sound mind. So Paul is telling us, I want your thought life to be sound. I want your thought life to be consistent and sound. I wrote this down in my notes, don't align yourself or your thinking with something that's not reality. That's not the reality of who God says you are. Our thoughts must be in line with God's thoughts. If he made you to be an overcomer, don't be insecure and say, I'm less. I'm just struggling. I'm just trying to make it. If he says you're blessed, don't insist on being poor. If he says you're healed, don't insist on being sick. Amen, right? We've got to get ourselves in line with what the word says, because that is what will prevent our lives from being insecure. If I'm thinking about his thoughts, if my thoughts become his thoughts, then my thoughts will stay pure. And if my thoughts will stay pure, then I won't get insecure. Amen? So the word sober here means to think and to be of a sound mind. So again, get that visual in your mind for just a second. Imagine like a ladder, okay? And this step, this middle step is where God says I am. This is who he's called me to be. This step says I'm an overcomer. This step says I'm a son of God. This step says my needs are met and I'm blessed and everything I need is taken care of. And all the Bible promises are on this step. And then pride comes and tries to convince you that the reason all those things are on that step are because you're so awesome. And what do? You go up to the next step and you get out beyond what God, you're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. See, all this stuff about all the promises of the Bible are still true on this step, but they're not because of you, they're because of Jesus, right? You're blessed because Jesus wants you to be. You're healed because he healed you. So you get up onto this pride step above. You think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And then all of a sudden, you go to a minister's conference and you see a bunch of ministers who are doing more than you're doing or seem to be farther along than you are. And it knocks the wind out of your sails and you go down three steps and now you're in the land called insecurity. Sunday morning, we got up and we had breakfast with Jeremy Pearson's and a handful of the other people that were there. And I was just going... I just kept thinking that I was doing and saying all the wrong things. I'm putting it out there for you, okay? Just go home tonight and thank Jesus that you have an honest pastor. I was just thinking, man, I'm doing all the wrong things. This is the thought that was going through my head. I got down there first, down to the breakfast table because I'm an early riser. So I got down there first and Joey's brother was there, so we sat down and we got the whole table together for whoever else was going to come down. And so we're sitting there having a great conversation. And all of a sudden, Joey comes down with Kirsten, and a little bit after them, Jeremy and my dad came down, a bunch of people. And I'm thinking to myself, oh man, you know what? They probably wanted privacy. And here I have just stuck my foot in the middle of this whole situation, and I've done the wrong thing. I've said the wrong thing. I probably made Joey mad at me. And they probably wanted to eat in private. And all this, help me out up here. Anybody else ever thought this way before? If you've ever had these kinds of thoughts go through your head? And so I tried to enjoy breakfast, and I did, and we talked, and it was great. It ended up being just fine. But I left from there thinking, man, I hope I didn't screw the pooch on that, man. And so then we were driving. We left. We checked out of the hotel, and we went down to this town called North Conway. And North Conway's got like a bunch of outlet stores. And when we drove through there on the way up, I noticed an L.L. Bean outlet and I wanted to go check it out. So we drove down to the L.L. Bean outlet and I'm checking it out. I'm walking around. My dad's shopping for socks for my mom. He's like, I want to get your mother some wool socks. I'm like, okay, fine. So me, I walk into the store and like a good man, I walk all the way around the store. I've seen everything there is to see. I'm ready to leave. You know, I wanted to go in and check the store out, and I did, and it took me like 4.5 minutes. And now Dad's like, no, we gotta stay. I gotta pick out some socks for your mother. And so he's over there picking socks out for my mom, and I'm battling all this insecurity because I've just thought, man, I screwed breakfast up today. I'm never gonna get to meet Jeremy Pearson's again. And man, Joey's my friend, but I bet I really ticked him off. I bet I screwed this whole thing up. And do you know what the Lord said to me? It was about 12:30. And then I started to think about the fact that my wife was preaching for me. And I thought, man, I'll bet nobody's going to come to church. I'll bet she's going to be all alone. I'll bet she's going to feel so terrible. I bet she... This is how the enemy works. Anybody? Come on. Help me out. It's like one thought will lead to another terrible negative thought. And insecurity will just start to cover you like a blanket. And I'm just sitting there going, God, this is terrible. I bet she's having a really hard time preaching. God, I wish I was there to comfort her when she gets done with this horrible experience. And right in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit is like, what in the world are you thinking? What are you allowing in your thought life? And the scripture that came up in my heart was Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I said, Lord, what does that have to do with anything? That doesn't help me where I'm at right now. I'm feeling insecure, and I'm enjoying my little pity party. Leave me alone. And you know, it was about 12:30, The Holy Spirit started to speak to me about this issue of insecurity, and I couldn't write the notes fast enough in my phone. And he talked to me from 12:30 till 10 o'clock that night. He said, every time you look at yourself, you have to be willing to see someone that Jesus was willing to die for. You want to keep yourself out of insecurity? Every time you look in the mirror, you need to see somebody that Jesus was willing to die for. You see, we get our validation from the Word, not from people, not from circumstances, not from anything external. We get our validation from what the Bible says about us. That's why Paul says in Romans, don't think differently. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. It was God who gave you the measure of faith. He put himself in you. He makes his home, residence on the inside of you. That's why you can think exactly in line with what God has said about you. And if you'll do that, you won't get prideful and you won't get insecure. It'll keep you from arrogance, and it'll keep you from fear, and it'll keep you from insecurity. Because insecurity is funny, man. It works like, it's like really dark sunglasses. Have you ever put really dark sunglasses on, and they totally change the way you see the world? You put, anybody have like colored sunglasses? They're like a little bit yellow or a little bit blue. They got a tint to them. And all of a sudden, you'll put them on and it changes the way you see everything. Well, if you leave them on long enough, pretty soon the world begins, your view, what you see has become your normal. And then you take them off and you go, oh, wow, man, it's not that blue. The world's just not that blue. I can remember I was fishing one time. We used to go out on a friend's boat when we lived in Florida. And I had these glasses at the time that were very blue tinted. And I would wear them, and they would, you know, I would wear them while we would fish, and I could see the fish, and it would help me to see what I was looking at. And man, when I got done, I'd get home, or I'd even get to the car, and I'd take them off, and I'd go, whoa. It was always like this shock, like, oh yeah, wow, the world is not quite that blue. Well, that's how insecurity is. It's like a set of glasses that you put on, and if you leave them on, they become your new normal. And you see everything through this lens called insecurity. And all of a sudden, everything that the Bible says about you goes out the window. And you have a hard time believing it. Right? We don't get our validation from people. We get our validation from the Word. So let me ask you, how do we fix it? How do we fix insecurity? We've talked about it for a few minutes. How do we fix it? Well, the answer is in Psalm 37. That scripture that Jesus put in my heart, that the Holy Spirit spoke to me while I was standing in front of a kayak at the L.L. Bean store. I'm looking up at this orange kayak. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I saw it, and I was like, that's it. I'm so stinking insecure because I'm not delighting myself in God right now. I'm looking through the lens of insecurity, and the reason is because I'm not delighting myself in God. I'm not reminding myself of what he says about me. I'm catering to the devil's desire for me, which is to just be busted and disgusted and frustrated and insecure. I'm allowing all these thoughts to swirl through my head that have nothing to do with who God's called me to be. What's the remedy for it? Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? It means get alone with God until you get happy in him. Notice that it says here, delight yourself. Can we go back there? Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord. Notice it doesn't say, go to church and get delighted. Notice it doesn't say, put on a really stirring message. Go to the church of YouTube and put on a great message. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. I wrote it down this way. Take responsibility for your own encouragement. When are we going to grow up and just not wait on everybody else to be our encouragement? When are we going to, I'm just getting a little a little ornery here, but I'm not mad at anybody. When are we going to just put on our big boy pants, our big girl pants, and just start taking our own responsibility for our own encouragement? Delight yourself in the laws of, or in the Lord, excuse me. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You don't get to the desires of your heart until you delight yourself in him. And see, that's where insecurity gets fixed. I stood there in front of that orange kayak and started to delight myself in God. What did I do? I started to confess his word immediately. As soon as I saw it, as soon as the devil was exposed, and as soon as I realized, man, I've been, like, for the last couple hours, I've been totally enamored with all the people that I've seen, and I've just received so much, and here I am getting to hang out with somebody I've watched on TV before, and by the way, he's totally cool. He's super fun to be with. But I'm like allowing myself all of a sudden to get really insecure and doing that for a couple hours. As soon as the light was shined on the situation, I immediately snapped to it and said, wait a minute, no. I haven't ruined everything. I haven't destroyed relationships. This is not what I think it is. I've been allowing the enemy to feed me poison for the last hour. And you know what? Enough of that garbage. And I started to delight myself in God. Lord, I thank you that you paid a precious price for me. I thank you that I am who you said, that I'm a new creation in Christ. No longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I thank you. The Bible says I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above only and I'm never beneath. Great is the peace and undisturbed composure of my life. Though my enemy come out against me one way, he has to flee before me seven ways. Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in me, that same spirit will quicken and give life to my mortal body. I started praying under my breath in the Holy Ghost. And you know what? In about 10 minutes, glory to God, I was ready to tackle the world again. I was ready to believe God for the impossible again. You see, if we let insecurity dominate our thought life, we just won't believe God for what he wants us to accomplish. We'll abandon our assignment. And that's why the enemy loves to use insecurity in our lives, because he knows it will sideline us and we won't do what we're called to do. The devil is terrified of you fulfilling your calling in God. He's terrified of people who know what their purpose is and do it. Amen? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When we take our responsibility for our own encouragement, we begin to walk these things out. God begins to work in our lives, and stuff like insecurity just disappears. Because, you know what? Listen, I fully believe this. I believe that things like anxiety, depression, fear, big stuff, always start small. I really believe that. And if we can learn to take our thought life captive now, if we will shut insecurity down when it's a baby, when it's just a little weed, you've ever picked weeds before, they're best to get when they're small, before the roots get deep. If we can nab insecurity when it's tiny, then it won't become depression down the road. You follow me? It won't become major anxiety down the road. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? It won't turn into some debilitating thing down the road. I really and truly believe with everything that I am that all the major things that we deal with that are problematic in our life always have, they always started small somewhere. We entertained a little thought and it became big. You know what I mean? So how do we fix that? How do we deal with it? As quickly as you get a thought that doesn't line up with the Word of God, as quickly as something comes that bumps you up a ladder step or bumps you down a ladder step and gets you off the step that God says this is what your life is supposed to look like, Is that an analogy making sense? Okay. I got to think of a better one. But anyways, this is good for today anyways. As long as the enemy comes to try to move us off of that step, even when the thought's little, if we'll squish it then, it won't get us way off course. It won't become something huge down the road. You know what I mean? And you say, well, what about if it's already huge? Well, God's a miracle worker. He can fix it in 3 seconds. It'd take you 20 years to do what God can do in 1 second when your heart gets primed with faith. You know what I'm saying? So the remedy is to delight ourselves in the Lord. I wrote this, get back to the Word. Just get back to the Word. As soon as you find yourself getting off in some realm of thinking that's not biblical, the best thing you can do before you start feeling sorry for yourself is get back in the Word. We always say this stuff to people, well, you just got to be yourself. Listen, you can't be yourself if you don't know who yourself is. If you don't know what the Bible says about who you're supposed to be, you can't be it. So get back to the Word. When insecurity comes, the first thing you can do, run back to the Word and begin to delight yourself in the Lord. Say the right thing. Declare what the Bible says over your life. That's what got me out of my funk last week. Started to just declare what the Bible said. It didn't take but 2 minutes. And all of a sudden it was like, but you know what? If I'd have let it sit on me for a week, which I've done before, it would take a lot longer than 2 minutes to get back. I remember hearing a pilot who visited our church when I was young, and he had been a commercial pilot, and he said the difference between New York and Miami is just a couple degrees when you're flying from Tokyo. The difference between hitting New York or hitting Miami is just a couple of degrees when you're flying from Tokyo. And see, if you leave the Tokyo airport and you realize I'm off by 2 degrees, then boom, we can get, you know, it may have took us about 15 minutes out of the way, but we got back on course. If you realize it over the Grand Canyon, you got a major course correction. Well, this is going to cost us several hours. If you land in Miami, you're way off. You see, the longer we tolerate something that's not lining up with God's word, the harder it takes, the more effort it takes to get us back to where we were supposed to be. Amen? Now, I say that so that we can make adjustments quickly when they come up. If we're already in Miami and we're believing God for New York, listen, he can translate you. He can make a miracle happen that can get you back where you were supposed to be. The Bible says in Ephesians that we redeem the time. God through us redeems the time. He buys back. He'll give us years that were lost in a moment. God will do that because he's that good. But going forward, when insecurity comes, when you have the temptation to be off 1 degree, just squish it real fast. Get back on course. Get back to the Word. What does the Word say? Man, I need to delight myself in God. I need to get back to his presence and just immediately run back there and talk to myself about what the Bible says. I wrote this down and I want to close with this. Insecurity. This is one of the things that the Lord was giving me. We had left the L.L. Bean store at the point that I wrote this next thing down. We were in the Lindt chocolate store buying chocolate. So it was hallelujah. The anointing was on it. That's how I know it was really anointed. Just kidding. This is what he said. Insecurity comes from fixing your eyes on other people. Fear comes from fixing your eyes on the storm, on the circumstance. You remember Peter getting out of the boat? When did he sink? When he fixed his eyes on the waves. Insecurity comes from fixing your eyes on other people. Fear comes from fixing your eyes on the storm. Arrogance comes from fixing your eyes only on yourself. Apathy and boredom come from fixing your eyes on nothing. Boy, I want to preach that to a generation. Confusion comes from trying to fix your eyes on everything. Faith comes by fixing your eyes on Jesus in the Word. How do we deal with insecurity? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Get in the Word. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then what happens? He gives you the desires of your heart. Did you ever notice that? It doesn't say he gives you the desires of his heart. He gives you the desires of your heart. God's trusting enough to give you what you want if your desires are fixed on him. If you won't be given to pride and arrogance and fear, if you won't be given to insecurity, if you won't be given to all the things that the enemy wants you to be given with, if you won't be so consumed with the devil's thoughts towards you that God can trust you, that when you delight yourself in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that interesting? I've heard scripture my whole life. Trust in the Lord, he'll give you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And it was only recently the Lord said, do you notice that I didn't say my heart? I said, your heart. I thought, well, why is that, Lord? He said, because if you're rooted in my word, I trust you. I trust you enough to give you the things you desire. But he can't do that with insecure people. He can't do that with arrogant people. He can't do that with people that don't know who they are in Christ. If you know who you are in Christ, God can trust you enough to give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that awesome? You know what that's called? Maturity. Spiritual maturity. We're growing in the things of God. That's why we say it every Sunday. It's on purpose. I didn't just write that by accident. It's on purpose. We're growing so that we can be the kind of people that God can trust us with the real stuff. You don't give a shotgun to a 3-year-old. Why? They can't handle it. God wants to grow us up so that he can entrust us the weighty riches of his kingdom. So we got to learn how to deal with insecurity when it comes so that it doesn't sideline us from his purpose. Amen? All right. I'm sorry? Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Insecurity comes from fixing your eyes on other people. When I measure myself by somebody else, it's when I get insecure. Insecurity comes from fixing your eyes on other people. Fear comes from fixing your eyes on the storm. We have a church culture around us that's developed in America that loves to focus and fixate itself on the challenge. We get into church and the preachers will glorify the trial. That only plants and produces fear. That's the way that works. So fear comes from fixing your eyes on the storm. Arrogance comes from fixing your eyes on yourself. Look how great I am. Don't you want to be like me? That's where arrogance comes from. That's what gets you off of the God step, up into the pride step on the ladder. Apathy, or boredom, we could say, comes from fixing your eyes on nothing. Zig Ziglar said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. I think that's such a great quote, man. Boredom comes from not having any goal, not fixing your eyes on anything. Confusion comes from trying to fix your eyes on everything. I can do it all. And you got 86 things that need to be done by lunch, and you can't do any of them because you can't focus on any of them long enough, so it just creates all this confusion. Confusion comes from trying to fix your eyes on everything. Faith comes by fixing your eyes on Jesus in the Word. That's why it brings us all the way back around to verse 4 there, delighting yourself in the Lord. Hebrews 12 says we fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Everything we need from start to finish is in Jesus. Everything. Everything you'll ever need to be secure, to be confident. That's why I said at the beginning of this message, confidence doesn't have to come at the expense of humility, and humility doesn't have to come at the expense of confidence. We try to trade one for the other. And that's what the devil wants us to do. We try to say, well, arrogance and pride is bad. That next ladder step is bad, so I don't want that, so I'm going to go 2 steps down. And now I'm going to just be insecure and think of myself as insignificant. C.S. Lewis said this once. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. A lot of people exchange their identity in Christ for some counterfeit, whether it's arrogance or insecurity. And we have this tendency to run from one all the way to the other. Either, you know, maybe I grew up and I was just insecure. Maybe I was told my whole life, you're not good enough, you're lousy, you just never amount to anything. And so my initial, when I start to realize that, hey, that's not true, the next thing I do is I run all the way to the other side over here and I become arrogant and puffed up. Well, the devil's happy with either. He's fine with either one. Or maybe I grew up in an environment that where I was told that, yeah, praise God, you're everything God says you are, and you grew up confident. Well, then the enemy will try to pervert that and get you to come over here in the realm of insecurity. The reality is God wants us to be right where he wants us. That's deep, isn't it? God wants us to be right where he wants us to be. God wants us right where he said we are. We're seated with him in heavenly places. Don't think in either extreme different from that. That makes sense? Good. I'm glad it helped you. It helped me a lot. It got me out of my funk. And I've dealt with insecurity in my life because I've grown up. I've always known my whole life that I was going to be a preacher. Always. I ran from it for about 9 months. It was terrible. Worst 9 months of my life. I always knew that I was going to be a preacher ever since I was a kid, and I've always naturally compared myself to other ministries. It just happens. If you knew you're going to do something your whole life and then you see other people doing it, the first thing to do is compare yourself. Well, how do I measure up? Well, if you look at big ministries all the time, you'd be tempted to feel insecure. But you know what? I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm just going to be who God called me to be. T.D. Jakes said this, and I know I've been trying to close, but is this okay? Y'all still like me? This is really important stuff, man. It'll really help you. T.D. Jakes said something one time. He said, God will never judge me for somebody else's gifting. He said, I never get insecure about other preaching gifts. And T.D. Jakes, he's Time Magazine called him the next Billy Graham. I mean, he's probably the most popular preacher in the world, truthfully. Everybody knows who T.D. Jakes is. You go to Singapore and they know who T.D. Jakes is. I mean, just everybody knows Jakes. You know when he does it when he walks? I love it. Perry loves it when I do it. He just gets over in the Holy Ghost and he'll say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And then he'll just stop talking. It's so awesome. I love it. So T.D. Jakes said, man, when I get around good ministries, and he'll tell you, he's like, man, there's people that preach, they're way better preachers than I am. He's quick to say that about people. But he said, I got to a place where I realized God's not going to judge me based on the gift that he put in somebody else. I'm only accountable to what he gave me. I'm only accountable to him for what he put in me. So if I just get insecure and I start to look at somebody else's gifting, I'm going to get way off track, and I'm not only going to get in false humility, and which is just another word for pride, I'm actually going to abandon the thing he put in me. And you know what? The devil's happy when that happens. So anyways, praise God. I hope that ministers to you and helps you. It helped me a lot, and it continues to help me. And I'm a preacher, so all the examples I use are preacher examples. But, you know, put this into play in your own life, man. If you're a prep cook, you know, don't compare yourself to the other prep cooks. Be who God called you to be, you know. Amen. All right, let's close our eyes. Father, we love you. Thank you for ministering your word to us today.
We hope that this message inspired you and filled your heart with faith. If you would like to visit our church, check out www.highcountrychristian.com for service times and location information. Thanks again for listening to this audio presentation from High Country Christian Church, where Jesus loves you, we love you, and your life counts.